today on Rocking the Suburbs.
There's a part of me that wants to express every side of it and wants to fire the audience into a singing part or try to pull everybody in, and as long as everybody's experiencing a moment. And I suppose for me, the best thing about any performance is there has to be a sense of event at it.
Everybody, welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. This is Patrick Foster on behalf of Jim Linehan. I want to welcome you to this Friday episode of our program. And today, we're going to be talking about the Irish band The Frames. Many of you may know The Frames. Many of you may know their frontman, Glenn Hansard. He came to be much more well-known in the United States after the movie Once premiered, and he eventually ended up winning an Academy Award. Best Original Song with Markéta Irglova. But prior to that, he was in a band called The Frames that were very, very successful in Ireland, yet never really quite broke through in the United States. And I think that based on Glenn's success playing with The Swell Season, which was the duo he played with Markéta Irglova, and his solo concerts, he's become more well known. But I wanted to go back and touch on some of the amazing music that The Frames made during their time as a band. Basically, I want to focus on the period between 1990-ish and a record they put out in the year 2005 called Burn the Maps. And the interesting thing, I think, about The Frames' career is it's actually framed, pardon the expression, by two movies. You feature Glenn Hansard and talk about Irish music, but in very different ways. Glenn Hansard was born in April of 1970 in Dublin, Ireland. And by the time he had reached early teen years, around 13 or so, he was out on the streets of Dublin busking, basically playing for change, playing on the street corners and in the subways and things like that, honing his talent. Glenn Hansard described the music that he heard in his home kind of as defined by a holy trinity, and that holy trinity was Leonard Cohen, Van Morrison, and Bob Dylan. So you can see the kind of singer-songwriter attention to detail and emotion that he was inspired by. By the age of 17, he made a demo, saved money, and was able to make a demo tape, a demo recording of about 50 copies that made its way around, and one of them happened to fall into the hands of an executive at Island Records, who eventually convinced the label head to sign Glenn to a contract. Once he was signed to a contract, he had the problem of making a record, and he wanted to not do it solo. He wanted to do it with a band. So he put together some musicians, and these musicians became The Frames. And the band was named The Frames because apparently Glenn, when he was growing up during these busking years, had a habit of constantly fixing up bikes. He was fixing up other bikes. He was finding parts of bikes, and his yard was littered with all these different bike pieces and bike frames, and around the neighborhood, everybody knew it as the house with the frames. So that's the name he took for the band. And it was right around this time that he took a role in the movie The Commitments. And he plays a character in that movie whose name I quite like. It's Outspan Foster. And he's one of the guitar players in The Commitments, a story of an Irish band that takes up R&B and soul music and becomes a storming sensation for a short time in their hometown. And the music was a great amalgam of American R&B, just a lot of fun. And many of our audience have probably seen that movie. And Glenn is very memorable for that and his long, curly red hair. And he has a few speaking lines in there as well, but he's definitely a minor character. After Glenn finished filming The Commitments, he went back to The Frames and the band went into the studio to record their first album. They worked with a producer on part of this album called Gil Norton, who had done some work with the Pixies and Echo and the Bunnymen and Throwing Muses. And I think the first album for The Frames, which is called Another love song came out in the year 1992. It suffers for me from a combination of two things. One, I don't think Glenn Hansard's songwriting was quite formed to the point of maturity it would eventually get to, and it happens pretty quickly starting on the next album. And there's some production that sort of took the soul to me out of the frames a little bit. It's a little bit polished. The indie rock edges that would come through in more of a lo-fi way are not there. They're kind of polished out. It's tried to make it sound a little too alt-rock to me, and sound a little bit too much like some of the bands that we mentioned, you know, trying to make the frames into something they really weren't, at least in my opinion. And the record didn't do that well. It didn't sell all that well. Island wasn't totally behind this record, although a couple of the singles, The Dancer and Masquerade, found a little success. But it really was kind of a false start, in my opinion. And the record went out of print a couple years after it was released. There was a shakeup in Island Records' hierarchy. There was also the band not being particularly thrilled with the record, and they were dropped from their contract for Island. And then in, I feel like this is where the real Frames begin. I think the second album that they put out really is the first proper Frames record, and that record is called Fitzcarraldo. Yes, it's named after the movie Werner Herzog film in which a man tries to pull an entire ship over a mountain from one body of water to another. But it really, to me, begins to display the maturity, the passion, that Van Morrison, Dylan stuff really coming through in Glenn's songwriting. You begin to really hear the fiddler calm Matt Connemar, who really is key to the Frames and becomes Glenn Hansard's closest identifiable band member, and his violin and string work is really key to the band going forward. He really comes to the fore, and you really start to get that sense of what the band really was. You get that rock and roll balanced with the introspection and the passion. And here's a song I want to play for you from this record. It's called Red Chord.
I'm pulling on the red cord. Pulls you back to me, Lord. That helps me out. And you're away. And I was in the army. Called you back to save me, and I was resting soft. In the arms of my warmth, and I'm pulling on the red cord. That pulls you back to me, Lord. And I'm pulling on the red cord. So you're not so far away. And I was at the uni. University of
life. Okay, and right now, we had some help with this episode, putting it together, and I want to thank everybody who contributed, three different contributors, and I want to introduce you to the first one. Now, this is slightly out of the order of the way we got it, but I think it's really important to hear this part of the story about the Frames, or this insight about the Frames right here, because we're still talking about the band kind of starting over after their major label debut. Fitzcarraldo was the album, and I want to hear from somebody that Harris King brought into this conversation. And why don't we let Harris introduce this person?
I know the Frames because of my good friend Shane. He's from Ireland. He's from County Sligo in Ireland, and he introduced them to me. We were roommates together in Germany about 20 years ago now. Wow.
Thank you, Harris. And now let's hear from Shane and his memories of the early Frames.
Hi, I'm Shane, and like a lot of Irish people, I came across the Frames for the first time on the TV show No Disco, which was aired late at night on Irish television back in the 1990s. It was a program that played a lot of alternative music. The only catch was, to be on the show, you needed to have a music video. And when I saw the Frames, it was closing out a segment where they had basically got a number of their friends to use the security cameras at the premises at which they worked to record them sort of jamming outside on the street or in the vestibule of the bank where one of the friends worked or whatever. And together they cobbled together enough footage and they overplayed the music on it, and they had their publicity on Irish television. So that was where I came across them first. And then subsequently, they played a lot of student gigs. I remember at the University of Galway where I studied, they played there during Freshers Week. They were back later in the year again for Rag Week, which is like our spring break. So I think for a certain generation of Irish people, you know, they were immediately popular. Their live shows, as you know, are spectacular. So they carry a very, very warm place in my heart from those early days. And it was great to see Glenn at least get the success that he's deserved with his Oscar win and the subsequent attention that he got.
That's really a cool memory, and what a cool way to record a video. That's so amazing. I wanted to get that in there right at this point. We'll go back and we'll hear from Harris in a minute here too. But that's kind of a sense of what it was like when, the Frames were starting out. They were playing universities, they were playing gigs that they could get in Ireland. There was plans, I think, originally for them to come over and play in the United States around this time, but they didn't quite make that happen. One other thing I'll say about this record, it actually came out in the United States as the Frames DC, and that was to avoid confusion with other bands named the Frames. And there are a bunch of other bands named the Frames. I think there was one from Richmond, Virginia that might even still be going at this point. It was a pretty common name. So they took it up DC. And so if you see studio copies of the US version of this, it does say Frames DC on the front. So even at that point, they weren't really well enough known to even be the band that's called the Frames, like the main one. Fitzcarraldo was issued in the UK on a label called ZTT, and I believe it came out on Elektra Records in the United States. That was a big part of 1995, 1996, and 7. They spent sort of promoting that album, gaining momentum, becoming the band that they would evolve into. They were never super quick in the studio. It always took them a little while. They used different studios. I think Glenn Hansard took care to try to make the records as good as he could, but he fretted over it a lot of times, it seemed like. And by the time they came to the third album called Dance the Devil, I think they had really started to perfect their sound. On the one hand, you have this amazingly powerful indie rock that's displayed in songs like Pavement Tune and God Bless Mom. We'll be right back. So you can feel the passion and the power in that song, the way it builds up. And you get a little bit of the quiet, too, in that song. But you do get that lift and that emotional heft, that much rock and roll right on down to its soul turns on. But you also get beautiful introspective songs like Star Star.
Star, star, teach me how to shine, shine. Teach me so I know what's going on in your mind. 'Cause I don't understand these people saying the hill's too steep. Well, they talk and talk forever, but they just never climb. Down into situations, bringing out the best of you. Flat on your back, yeah. And stop your every word I'm heeding. Can you help me to see? I'm lost in the marsh, yeah. Star, star, teach me how to shine, shine. Teach me so I know what's going on in your mind. 'Cause I don't understand these people saying the world's asleep. Well, they toss and turn forever, but no rest will they find. Teach me how to shine.
And that's an amazing one. An incredible song to see in concert. The way they played, they really were a live band that really thrived on the audience and their reaction, and using the space loud in the quiet, and building up to these big crescendos. So Dance the Devil was the album that came out, and like its predecessor, Fitzcarraldo, hit about the top 30 area on the Irish charts. They started to get some momentum together. They hadn't really begun to tour the world widely, but they had toured Europe, and they were popular in the Czech Republic as well early on. They were very popular in Ireland, and they eventually got over to the United States, but not necessarily as a band. Glenn Hansard did some solo shows over here, and the band, they came over to the United States to start recording their third album, which for me and for others I've read is really the peak of the Frames, the main chunk where they really, really hit their stride and they got everything together. And part of this record was recorded in Chicago with Steve Albini. And you wouldn't necessarily think Steve Albini, who's known for recording heavy rock records, would work with a band like the Frames that had so many nuances, but oh boy, the way this was recorded and the songs that he worked on, they just have an intimacy that's really hard to imagine. Of course, it's got a good drum sound, but also Glenn Hansard wrote an amazing set of songs, and the Frames put together an amazing record here. Songs like Mighty Sword, Santa Maria, Early Bird, Fighting on the Stairs, an amazing song called What Happens When the Heart Just Stops.
So what happens when the heart just stops? Stops caring for anyone. The hollow in your chest dries up and you stop believing. So what happens when the heart gives up, but the body goes on living? The blood crawls to a slow and stops and flows away. Well, have ourselves to blame for everything. There was no answer in the dust, and I'm missing you so much. But now you're sleeping and I'm leaving, empty-handed waiting. Time it will subside and we'll agree it was a given. Well, there was no standard we could set, and the world, it does regret to have to leave you in this state of bereavement. You see, I'm feeling everything.
And you can really hear the nuance there and the passion and the beauty that is in this Frames music. And this record for me would be the place to start. I think there's a ability, you know, to maybe put together a Frames playlist for some of the great songs. And we'll talk about the fact that after this record, they put out two live albums, one right after the other. And if you look at the track listing on those live albums, there's one called Breadcrumb Trail that came out in 2002, and another one called Setlist that came out in 2003. And the latter actually came out on Anti Records, which was a label they signed with in around 2002 or 3. But if you look at the set list on these albums, you will get a definite sense of some of the better Frame songs, or at least from my opinion. And these are the ones that really appeal to audiences. These are the ones that the band liked to play live, that Glenn felt comfortable with. And lo and behold, on the Breadcrumb Trail album, right there in the middle, here's a cover of Ohio Riverboat Song by Palace Brothers. It gives a great example of what an interpreter Hansard and the Frames could be. And you can definitely hear the way the band digs into that song, and you know, much like Van Morrison would do when he would play live, he would throw in all kinds of standards, and for the Frames, this becomes a real standard. And it was around 2002, during the time they were playing these songs live, that I first saw the Frames play. I was sent to cover a concert at the Black Cat in Washington, D.C. for the newspaper here when I was doing that thing, and the act that I was covering was the New Pornographers. They were at the top of the bill. But who was this Irish band that played first and came out? And I'm so, so glad I got there early that night, because I was just blown away by not only the sound, but the way they interacted. The violin was just amazing. And who was this bearded, shaggy-haired Irish guy with about 60 bracelets on his wrist who was singing these songs and telling these stories? Talking in between the songs is a big part of what Glenn does too. And I remember he was telling a story about driving, I think, from Philadelphia to New York or something like that in a summer night, and he just couldn't believe that to the side of the road there was this field full of fireflies. It was like blowing him away. He's like talking about how he pulled his car over, walked out into the middle of this giant field of fireflies, and just stood there. A man always caught by wonder. And I was really, really incredibly impressed by the Frames. And that was when I really got into them. And I believe I gave them a little line or a short paragraph in that review at the bottom. But obviously was there to write about something different. But it really made an incredible impression. It's just one of those things that happens when you see an opener and you're just like, I've never heard of these guys, but I'm totally blown away. And speaking of seeing the Frames in concert, let's turn now to Harris King, because he has some thoughts and memories of his own time seeing the band, but not in the USA.
Hello, this is Harris in South Carolina. Today on the podcast, Patrick mentioned the Frames, how he was going to do an episode on the Frames tomorrow. So I hit him up on the transom saying I'm a big fan of the Frames and I saw them live in 2005 in Frankfurt. Just a great band. He asked me to make a recording then about them and why. So I know the Frames because of my good friend Shane. He's from Ireland. He's from County Sligo in Ireland, and he introduced them to me. We were roommates together in Germany about 20 years ago now. Wow. And then we saw that they were playing in Frankfurt And he definitely wanted to go, and clearly I was going to go with him, and we both went. It was a great, great show. Not that full, you know, that they're like a lot of Irish bands, that they're extremely big in Ireland. Some of them, you know, make waves elsewhere. Of course, you two did. But a lot of them stay very Irish-centric, Ireland-centric. And the Frames sort of have moved along. We know who the Frames are. We know who Glenn Hansard is, clearly because of his Oscar win. But otherwise, they're very important to Ireland. So, you know, I like them a lot. And one last thing, the song Revelate off of their second album, Fitzcarraldo, is just amazing. I would nominate it for Perfect Pop. Revelate is just an amazingly good song. It's so powerful. That's the kind of song Glenn Hansard writes anyway, is these, they just get up in you. And Revelate, I would argue, is his greatest rock song, but also it just makes you slow down and think about things. So I nominate Revelate for Perfect Pop.
I will second that, Harris. I definitely agree that Revelate is a great, great song. Perfect Pop for sure. I just want to make sure that I may have misspoken back there a little bit, and I don't want to confuse anybody. I think I might have said the fourth Frames album was actually the third. But we did talk about Another Love Song that was on Island that to me is kind of a false start. And then you have Fitzcarraldo from 95, Dance the Devil from 99, and then For the Birds. I'm not sure if I said the name of that album, but I'm saying it now. That's the one that has What Happens When the Heart Just Stops. It's also got amazing song called Lay Me Down, Santa Maria, and others that I mentioned. And that could be the place to start. If you're going to get one Frames album, at least in my opinion, and start, that would be the one to start with. They did put out two live albums that I mentioned, Setlist and Breadcrumb Trail, in 2002, 2003. And then in 2004, they put out their first record for Anti Records. And to me, this is really kind of the final Frames album from sort of the Frames period. It was transitional in a way. It's a little longer. It's a little more introspective. And it's got some great songs on it, some great harrowing tunes like Fake, that's really powerful. There's a long sort of suite that ends this record that it becomes more introspective. It gets quieter and kind of almost soundtracky in a way. And it feels to me like a band in transition. And they did put out a final record in the year 2006 called The Cost on Anti, and this one You really hear the transition into what would become the Swell Season and Once and all the things that followed that. And Glenn Hansard sort of became Glenn Hansard to everybody else in the world. He was already Glenn Hansard, of course, to many, many longtime fans in Ireland. I'm sure like Shane, and Shane expressed it very well there. And it's got the song Falling Slowly on there. And that's the Frames version, of course. And then the one on Once would go on to win the Academy Award. So The Cost came out in 2007. And there's a lot about The Cost of Me that really feels like it's in a different section from The Frames. So it's really those chunk of Frames albums from Fitzcarraldo in 1995 to Burn the Maps at the very end in 2004 that I really think forms the core of The Frames. And digging in there, you know, I personally would start with For the Birds, and then I'd go to Dance the Devil, Fitzcarraldo, Burn the Maps would be the last one, and then the Live Ones are in there too. And if you really, really get curious, another love song can be found these days because it was reissued. But that's, to me, the way I would kind of sum up the heart of the Frames. I do want to tell a quick story about how popular Glenn Hansard got and how popular the Once movie was when it finally hit. It was released in 2007 in the United States. And I went to see Glenn Hansard with my wife and another couple at a very small club in Arlington, Virginia called Iota. Yeah, then it was named Iota for a reason. You couldn't even fit very many people in there when there was a lot going on, but there was not very many people there at this show that night. And it was in October, I believe, and fall time. And Marquetta was there with Glenn, and they sang a lot of the songs that would be on Once. The movie had wrapped up filming, and there was probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 people there when the show started, and might have reached a peak of about 20. But Glenn just kept playing. They just kept playing song after song after song. And more people just, you know, had seen a lot of music already and started drifting out. The couple we came with even got a cab and went home and left my wife and I there. And at the end, near the end, we were just sitting at the bar, probably, I don't know, you know, 6 feet away from this little tiny stage where they were up there playing. And Glenn said, I'm just going to keep going until they tell me not to. And that was a hearty cheer that came up from me and everybody sitting at the bar. And he even invited his roadie up on stage at one point, and he sang a whole bunch of songs. And they just kept playing until about 2 a.m, until the lights came on and the bar stopped serving. But it was pretty incredible to see. And there was probably 6 or 8 people there left at the very, very end, and gave him a hearty standing ovation and was able to go over and shake his hand. The next time he played was in 2007, and to illustrate the difference, he played a sold out show at the 930 Club. So went from about 16 to about 2,500, and people wanting to get inside to see the show, and all kinds of fans that you wouldn't have seen before, but good for him. And now, somebody who has seen Glenn Hansard very recently and several times also was able to get in touch and share some memories and thoughts. Right now, let's go to hear from a voice you'll recognize, Mr. Keith Jacobson.
Hey, Jim and Patrick. It's Keith Jacobson here from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Just wanted to give you a few thoughts about Glenn Hansard for today's episode. My history with Glenn goes all the way back to 1991, except I didn't know anything about Glenn Hansard then, but I was introduced to him, of course, in the Alan Parker film, The Commitments, where Glenn plays the guitarist in the band, Outspan Foster. No relation to Patrick, I don't think. And so I was a big fan of that movie, actually a big fan of the book, which I found then after the movie. And it's part of a trilogy that Roddy Doyle wrote, and they've all been turned into films. So The Commitments was the first one, and then The Snapper and The Van. I highly recommend you guys, if you haven't read those books and you're looking for something to read, go read them. They're highly entertaining. Anyway, back to Glenn Hansard. So that's where I first got introduced to him. I really got into the Commitment soundtrack. And then I lost track. I didn't know that was Glenn until The movie Once, of course, reintroduced me to him and Markéta Irglova, and that was in 2007. And that movie, of course, they won the best song or best original song for the Academy Awards that year when it was nominated. They had a great performance. I remember it on the show. And I've just been a fan really ever since of Glenn, whether he's working with Markéta in the Swell Season or, of course, his original band, The Frames, which I then went back and looked into. And then I've seen Glenn a number of times solo. Actually, the first time I saw him was at a festival at Alpine Valley there in Wisconsin. It was PJ20, which was Pearl Jam's 20th anniversary concerts that they did. That was in 2011. He played in the parking lot, actually, or like a secondary stage, not the parking lot, but like a secondary stage Glenn played on solo there. I've also seen him open up for Eddie Vedder when Eddie was on his ukulele tour. I just had the opportunity to catch the Swell Season at Frederick Meyer Gardens here in Grand Rapids, which is I've talked about the venue before on the podcast. That's the ill-fated venue where I left the Bonnie Raitt concert early. But it's a beautiful venue when the weather is great. Unfortunately, there, the shows are rain or shine. So if they're the only way they will cancel a show is if there is a thunderstorm or some sort of severe weather. So the night the Swell Season played just a few weeks ago, rain was in the forecast. It rained earlier in the day and it cleared up. It was great. And we thought we were in the clear. It's an outdoor venue. You bring your own chairs. And we were getting ready for the opener. We got a great spot on the lawn there, and it rained for about 20 minutes before the opener came out. So, you know, it's fine. Fine. It was over. No more rain. Then Swell Season came on. They are tremendous. And Glenn says at one point, I smell the rain coming. And he was right. It was about 2/3 of the way through the show that the rain happened again. But let me back up a second and just kind of talk about the night. And that was really one of those nights. You know, I've been to a lot of concerts, a lot of good concerts. There are those shows that you just really feel the connection between the audience and the performers. And so on this night, Glenn actually invited four or five songs into the set. He invited some fans. There is an area of the Frederick Meyer Gardens that doesn't really have a great view of the stage, unfortunately. It was a sold-out performance. I think the venue holds about 1,900 people. So it's a pretty intimate venue. He invited people that didn't have a great view to come up on stage, and they sat behind sort of the stage, at the back of the stage, which I thought was really incredible. You could tell the fans were really excited to be up there. I'm sure it's a great, great place to see a show. And just the night just continued to build. And an interesting thing was the Swell Season had a guest performer who I believe has performed on some of Glenn's solo records. Her name was Via Mardot, and she plays the theremin. So there was some theremin included with their songs. There actually was a theremin solo that happened later in the night. It's interesting. I feel, you know, Glenn is the showman of the group. Markéta Irglova is the beautiful voice of the group. But Glenn is the character, and he has a lot of fun with the audience. At one time, he had a young girl who was sitting in the back come up, and she held the music while he played a song, and they actually sang together. So, they played Swell Season songs. They played some Marqueta Arglova solo songs. They played some Glenn solo songs. And they did some covers. You know, they did Van Morrison's Into the Mystic. They, of course, did some Frame songs. They did Fitzcarraldo, which was just amazing build. So about that time of Fitzcarraldo, I think, was when it started to rain again. I mentioned that Glenn said it was going to rain. They smelled it. At that point, he invited up any of the crowd that, as he called it, didn't have the appropriate gear for the rain. He invited them up on stage. They were in the front of the stage, sitting down, but they were in the front of the stage. It was incredible. He was surrounded, you know, by a bunch of the audience. And they didn't want to leave. He wanted to keep playing. There actually was no encore. They just kept playing. They did a fantastic cover of the Pixies song Cactus, which when I heard it, I didn't know it was a cover at first until Glenn says, this is a Pixies song. They closed out with, Say It to Me Now. Gold, which is from the Once soundtrack. And then they did a cover of Star, Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka, and a song called Hotel Lounge, Be the Death of Me. It was just incredible. I don't think they wanted to leave, but unfortunately there is a noise ordinance at this venue and they have to be done by 9:45. So I think by the time this episode airs, the Swell Season's probably done with their run of North American dates, but I highly recommend if they tour again, which they did a little bit of a run last year, or if Glenn is coming anywhere solo, that you go check them out, because it just really is the energy, again, from the artist to the crowd. It was really a special night. Enough of me rambling, but thanks for the opportunity to kind of share some of these thoughts on the show. And Glenn Hansard, Patrick.
Thank you very, very much, Keith, for those thoughts and reminiscences. That sounds like a really great show. And as I was talking about, too, and you hear it right there with Keith, that is the spirit of Glenn Hansard. And I 100%, 1,000% echo what Keith is saying. If you get the chance to see Glenn or the Swell Season or the Frames, I know they did some reunion shows in June, but sounded like kind of a one-off thing in Ireland. But you never know what might happen. Definitely take the chance to see them. And I'm so glad that Keith talked about that part and a very recent show with Glenn at Marquetta. That's fantastic. Really kind of brings the whole thing full circle. So that's the overview on the Frames and Glenn Hansard, and we got it all in there. Thanks very much to Shane and to Harris, and of course to Keith for taking the time to do that. I know Keith was just about to jump on a plane, and he found some time to put that together, so I really, really appreciate that very much. We're going to go out with a song from For the Birds. We're going to hear Lay Me Down as we close out. But I want to remind you guys, if you have anything to say about the Frames, please get in touch. You can send us a voicemail. You can call the Suburban Party line, 612-440-1984. And just get in touch. Send us rock@suburbspod.com. Send us an email with your thoughts or find us on the socials. The next 2 weeks are going to be taken up with some recordings that we did at Suburbs Fest Louisville. But after that, we are going to be rocking and rolling, and we will be back up and running. So we'd love to get some more stuff on the Frames if you are so inclined. And have you seen an amazing Glenn Hansard show? Like Keith and I and Harris and Shane all have. We would love to hear about it if you did. With that, I am Patrick Foster on behalf of Jim Linehan and Keith and Shane and Harris. Want to say thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week. I will return.
dark and day is done, and lay me down in the hallowed ground down by your side. So lay me down. And if you wanna stay with me, then let me know before it's late. I will recoil myself into the black and dark.
And reminiscences.